Well, nobody does Dylan like Duluth does Dylan. And this morning on the phone with us from the Duluth Dylan Festival's Planning Committee, Phil Fitzpatrick. He has some of the more literary events as we celebrate the life and the oeuvre of Bob Dylan this morning. Hey, Phil, good morning. It's so nice to have you on the air with us again.
Good morning, Lisa.
Is there more attention, do you think, to the literary aspects of Bob Dylan's canon since he won and finally accepted the Nobel Prize in Literature in 2016?
Yes, I'm pretty sure there is. We've got, certainly we have, this year we have, we're graced with a couple of amazing professors of literature, one who spoke last Saturday, David Pekaske from Southwest Minnesota State. And this coming Saturday, we have Harvard professor Richard Thomas, whose new book, Why Bob Dylan Matters, just was released last fall. And he makes quite a convincing case for taking Dylan out of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and putting him in the pantheon of classical writers. It's I'm not sure everybody would agree with doing that, but the point remains that his viability as a classical writer is much better and much more believable and much more convincing now that he's won the Nobel Prize.
That was one of the things that I was given to understand in at least one article. Part of the reason that it took Bob so long to come forward and acknowledge the Nobel Prize, that he was having doubts himself about whether or not this was an appropriate place for songwriting. Do you have any more insight into that? I mean, did you give Bob a call? Did you guys sit down and talk about it over the phone?
Well, he hasn't been returning my calls. Strangely enough.
He's very busy, no doubt.
Yes. The fact remains that the spoken word has always been a form of literary expression. And it's maybe hard to put the two together, but from the earliest days of communication, you know, classical expressions have been sung or spoken, and so I myself believe that Dylan just represents a return to the viability of songwriting, per se, as a as an art form and a literary form as well. So yeah, I think he's it's not a surprise to most of us who have been following Dylan since his, you know, his earliest beginnings. It's not a surprise at all.
I found it a lot easier to develop an appreciation for Bob Dylan coming in through the songwriting door. You know, of course, his vocal style is something that's easy to parody, and for some people it works, and for other people it doesn't work, or it's an acquired taste. But to come to an appreciation of him through his songwriting as a poet, that's not a leap at all. Let's talk a little bit. Did you? So I'm guessing that you ran out and picked up, you know, as an English professor and a Bob Dylan fan, I'm guessing that you ran out and picked up this book, Why Bob Dylan Matters, instantly.
Yes, I did. I've got it right here in my lap.
It doesn't surprise me one bit. For people who perhaps are wondering kind of what the big deal is about, because Bob Dylan doesn't have a traditionally attractive singing voice. What does this guy lay out in his book? And, of course, we don't want to scoop his entire presentation, but
exactly.
What does this guy lay out in his book in terms of why Bob Dylan matters?
It's very simple, really. The importance, the significance of being human is something that doesn't immediately strike everybody. We just sort of trundle along in our humanity, and we take the lumps and celebrate the joys of being human. But there are a rare collection of individuals throughout human history who are able to step back from that experience and comment on it in an artistic and believable and enjoyable and even entertaining way. Shakespeare, not the least of which, or of whom, I mean. And
Jeepers, Phil.
Dylan Dylan sort of steps in line with Homer and Virgil and Shakespeare and John Keats and the great poets and great storytellers and great playwrights in humanity. It's a fairly logical positioning, and Richard Thomas does a wonderful and very interesting and very convincing job in his book of making that argument.
There was a time when Bob Dylan was first beginning where songwriters were tackling serious subjects. We've gone through kind of a long stretch where songwriters have really not been tackling serious subjects. And some of the lyrics, some of our contemporary lyricists are truly amazing. And then there are songs where, no, I had Maybelline stuck in my head as an earworm over the weekend, and I couldn't figure out why that song is a big deal, because lyrically it's not inspired.
Maybelline, Why Can't You Be True?
Yeah.
Well, we can translate that to, I love this person. This person doesn't love me back. What's my problem? And we can go all the way back to the poetry of Sappho and the stories of Homer and Virgil once again.
Phil, other people have said it better. And they've said it less repetitively. And Bob Dylan's one of those people. I mean, who can make, who can bring a scene to life. Are we living in a lyrical wasteland because people are not necessarily writing a lot of songs about our current reality? Did Bob Dylan come up in a time when a lot of people were writing a lot of good and compelling lyrics?
Well, I can't profess to be that up on contemporary writers, so I don't really know, but I'm sure there are plenty of examples currently who are doing it in their own way, and who knows whether or not they will someday be in the position Bob Dylan finds himself in right now. I wish I could, be more articulate on that subject, but I certainly know that Dylan was not just a folk singer. He was not just a rock and roll singer. He was not just a protest singer. He was not just, a country boy. He's all of these things and more. And the fact that Dr. Thomas has sort of pulled him into the argument about the importance of classicism, classical writers, classical thought, just shows you that the topics that we get hung up on from time to time in our own lives have been hanging people up ever since the dawn of humanity. So once again, it's just a matter of different styles, but same topics. And I think if the people who listen to music, contemporary music today, would probably say the topics haven't changed. The style. It's only the styles that have changed, and on we go.
Phil, it is always fascinating to talk about literature with you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And if folks are interested in attending the Poets of the North Country event, it is, all right, let's see. Let me back
that's
this up here.
That's tomorrow night.
Okay, that's tomorrow night, the Poets of the North Country event tomorrow night.
Right.
The John Bushy Memorial Lecture by Richard Thomas is Saturday night.
Yes,
and
Saturday afternoon.
Okay, Saturday afternoon at what time?
Yes, it starts at 1 o'clock, and it's at Carpelli's Manuscript Museum on East First Street.
That's what I get for not checking the KUMD calendar for the Bob Dylan events. I'm ashamed of myself.
They can certainly go. Anybody can go to bobdylanway.com, and the schedule is posted right there.
Right. And, of course, as the official radio station of the Duluth Dylan Festival, KUMD also has that information on our website.
Yes.
Phil, thanks so much for joining us. Like I said, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Phil Fitzpatrick is on the Duluth Dylan Festival Planning Committee, and he joined us this morning as our guest here on Northland Morning.